Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Tes. And we begin about 8 lines down from the top. We yesterday learned about various medicinal things that a person can do to prevent damage from this Bas Melech, and that's going to lead us into a discussion about further additional medicinal things, whether they're permissible on Shabbos or not. So we continue. The Amar Mar Ukva Amar Shmuel, another statement that Mar Ukva made in the name of Shmuel, is the following. Olin, Rashi tells us that Olin are name of an Esev, Kach Shem HaEsev. Others explain, no, it means Olin, means leaves. In any event, these Olin ain't Bahem Yishu Rufua. Mar Ukva says the name of Shmuel. Shmuel again was an expert doctor. In addition to being a huge Talmud Chacham, he was also an expert doctor. And he said that these olin have no medicinal benefit, and one shouldn't be using them for medicinal benefit. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, likewise, Kuzbarta ein ba mishum refuah. He said, Kuzbarta also has no medicinal benefit. Rashi explains that both of these things are talking about when you eat them. Va'achiloso. They have no benefit to help the eyes that haven't been healed. They have some malady with them. Tosus, however, brings down that he thinks this is talking about smearing it on the eyes, because that's what we were talking about previously. In any event, Rav Yosef was also blind. Rav Yosef and Rishashis are two of the famous Amoraim that were blind. So it's interesting that Rav Yosef is the one who says this. He certainly checked into medicinal therapies for the eyes, and he says this Kuzbarta doesn't do anything for the eyes. Likewise, Rishashis, Kishus, Ein Behem Mishum Refuah. He says hops, Kishus is hops. They also have no medicinal benefit, again, like Rashi, to eat them, or like Tosos, Rabbeinu Hanano, to go put them in your eyes, some sort of a salve. However, Rav Yosef makes another statement. On Rav Yosef, Kusparta, afilu didi koshuli. He says this Kusparta not only doesn't help heal eyes, he says somebody like me, whose eyes and Ebuch are already shot, he doesn't have vision, so nevertheless, even to somebody like me, it can be dangerous to have this Kusparta. On Rav Sheshes, on the other hand, Rav Sheshes says, Gargira. Again, we're not sure what these things are. Rashi tells us some foreign language words. Kuzbarta is oleander. And Gargira, he says something called Orug. Not exactly sure what any of these are. They have English words that are used to translate them, but I don't think we know what those are either. Or at least I don't. In any event, is Gargira afilu ledidi mali. He says, for me, a blind person, this is going to be beneficial. However, he says, kol mini kashus sharu. He says, all of these kashus are allowed to be used, except levar mitruza. He says, yes, these are allowed to be used on Shabbos. Rashi explains, lemechal b'Shabbos, again, l'shitasov, that you can eat them on Shabbos. And he says, because we'll learn that anything that is able to be eaten by a healthy person, so there is no problem with eating it on Shabbos, even if you're using it for purposes. And he says, delo muchach milsa, it's not clear that you're using it for medicinal purposes, because healthy people eat this as well. But the exception is this mitruza. Rashi explains, she'ein od mochel el refua, nobody ever eats this other than for medicinal purposes, and therefore umuchach milsa, it's clear from your actions that you're doing this in order to have medicinal benefit. And again, because of the gzera of shchikas samimonim, the rabbi said that for a non-life-threatening situation, you're not allowed to go take medicines, because you may come to grind them, which would be an issur d'oraisa. Marketing says Amar Chista Shrika Tavya Shari. Rashi explains Shrika Tavya is Lishrok Vilatuach Shemen Ubeitzim Mugugolin Alatzli Kishucham. He says that you're allowed to go and baste, to go and rub this oil or these hard-boiled eggs, Beitzim Mugugolim, on a roasted dish that was roasted before Shabbos, but it's still Cham now, Misha Cheshecha, at nighttime. That's permissible. It's not a problem to do so, even though that you're seemingly doing something over here that looks like cooking. However, Uvad, you have to make sure, Shloye Roseach, it shouldn't be so hot, that it actually cooks these things, and therefore people will say that you're cooking or you're fixing something. But just to baste it, that's not a problem. Velo Amrinim, Dome Lemisakin. It doesn't look like you're finishing off Makeb Apatish or finishing off doing something. That's what Rav Chisda says. So the Shrika Tavya Ishari is allowed. That's how Rashi understands this. Tosus understands this based upon Rabbeinu Hanano in Dibur Maslu Shrika Tavya. Says Pirush Rabbeinu Hanano, Mayim Shemesananim Mimei Avotiach. He says this is waters that are strained from watermelon, and people drink them Vishosum Kidei L'Shalshel, and it causes diarrhea. It's a laxative, and people would use this. Rotzalomar, he's telling us, the Mutul Sanin Mayim Shebimayan. You're allowed to go and go and strain waters that are in a spring. Kidemasik kivan de mischale hochi lav midik ovit. As the Gemara is going to explain, you didn't do anything to this. It was drinkable, it was potable beforehand. So now you haven't done anything by straining it to make it less potable. And therefore, below sinun shapir, Tosu says, since it can be drunk without straining it, you can drink it even after you strained it. And therefore, it is permissible to do so. He says, this is a natural flow. That's why he prefers his pshat rather than Rashi's pshat about basting, because this is a natural flow to the Gemara that we just had previously. In any event, you're allowed to do this shrika tavia, whether it's like Rashi basting, whether like Tosos, some straining, it's allowed. However, Rav Chisda says, pipue bei oser, to go and scramble an egg, to go and beat an egg, that's not allowed. Rashi explains, litrov beitzim mugugolim bikara, to go and beat them in a plate, that's not allowed. Oser, why? The mischaze keman deboil meshdinu biktera, because it looks like when a person beats an egg, it looks like he's about to pour it onto the frying pan and make himself some scrambled eggs. So therefore, you're not allowed to do this. Maisa shahoya, devisu dezire, the zire's wife, of the lay l'chia barashi, she made a dish for one of the talmidim of zire, chia barashi, and she basted this, according to Rashi, she basted this dish, and he didn't eat it. He felt, obviously, there was something wrong in doing so. She did this shrika tavi, Rashi says, and he wouldn't eat it. So she's surprised. She says to this Talmud, to Chia Barashi, she says, L'raboch, my husband, Ziri, he eats it, I make it for him, L'raboch, Avdilei v'ochal, and he eats it. Are you holier than thou? You don't follow my husband, who's your Rebbe? He would eat it. So Gemara says, why did Ziri allow this? Ziri l'taymei, as we actually alluded to just now in Tosos, Ziri held l'shitaso, the Omer Ziri, Ziri's holds, the nosin odom yayin solu, person's allowed to go take wine that's clear, in other words, a high-quality wine, umayim solu, or water that's clear, l'soch hamishameres b'Shabbos, you can put it into some sort of a strainer on Shabbos, v'nechoshesh, and there is no concern over here that you're straining on Shabbos, you're doing borer of some sort. Why is that? Alma, kiven de mishtasi hochi, since it's able to be drunk in this fashion, that's normal to drink this clear wine or this clear water. So you're straining it, lab mi de kovid. You really didn't do anything to it. You would have drunk it beforehand, and you're going to drink it now after you strained it. So the straining really wasn't significant. However, therefore, in our situation as well, hochanami, kiven de misochel hochi, since this chicken, whatever it was that was roasted, could be eaten without the basting, it's perfectly fine. The basting just makes it a little bit better. Lav midi kovid, you didn't do halachically anything that is a concern. That was Ziri's position. It's his position for the straining of the wine or the water that's already clear. He allows the basting because both of them, in all these situations, was edible, potable beforehand. On the other hand, Chia Barashi didn't feel that way. And Chia Barashi said, no, I'm not going to have this because he didn't hold from this kula of Ziri. Another statement that Marukva made. We have a whole bunch of statements that Marukva made. Yom Marukva, mi shenigfa yodo oraglo. If somebody went and he banged his hand or his foot. Rashi explains over here, nog for yodo, shenich shalot, v'loksa. You tripped to something and you got damage, you got a wound over here. So what are you allowed to do if you have this? Tzomso b'yayin, you're allowed to go put wine on it to make the swelling go down. However, v'nechoshes, there is no problem in doing so. It's not medicinal. If it was medicinal, we wouldn't allow it. Because, again, the gzera shchika samamonim. Even if it's not making of a medicine, you're not allowed to do medicinal activities because of this gzera. So the Gemara is going to tell us later on, why isn't it a concern? After all, if he's doing it to shrink the swelling, so why isn't it medicinal? So the Gemara is going to tell us in a moment, because it doesn't work. That's why. Wine won't work to do this. Yibai Lu, they asked in the Gemara, they asked in the Beis Medrash, Chala, what about vinegar? My, vinegar is more astringent than wine. Maybe that would cause the swelling to go down better. Are you allowed to use vinegar? Wine you're allowed to, because it doesn't work so well. What about vinegar, which would work so well? So I'm a Rav Hillel or Rav Ashi. Rav Hillel tells Rav Ashi, Ki havina be Rav Kahana. When I was learning by Rav Kahana, the Beis Medrash of Rav Kahana, we asked him this question, and Omre, and he said, Chala lo. No, you can't put vinegar on a wound. That is too medicinal. Omre Rav said, Vahani b'nei Mechuzah, those people that live in Mechuzah. Mechuzah was a very wealthy neighborhood. A lot of people there were very fine and dandy, and they would not be able to survive a lot of tough stuff. So, kivan de mifanke, they're very, very dandy. They're very, very picky, and therefore afilu chamra, even for them, wine nami maslu. Wine would actually go. They're not used to having things put on them, so even the wine, not being as astringent as the vinegar, would still work for them. That's what Rava tells us. Now we're going to have a Maisa Shaya that questions this. Ravina ikla Rabbi Ravashi. Ravina once went to Ravashi's house, and what happened? Chazya, he saw the dricha lechamra. He saw that a donkey came and stepped agabo de kare. He stepped on the back of his foot, on the top of his foot, and caused him a lot of pain. The Yosef called Shomis Lebechala, and he put vinegar on it. As an aside, I once searched for Rabbi Barrel wine, Shlita. He said, how did we know this word over here? When I read this the first time, Chazi de Dricha Lechamra, I thought that somehow he stepped on it with wine. Chamra means wine. It could also mean a donkey. How do you know which one it is? So Rabbi Wine, in his very sharp and sarcastic way, said, it depends what kick you get from it. That will tell you whether it's a donkey or wine. Very cute. In any event, so he saw. Ravina was by Ravashi, and he saw that, what did Ravashi do? The Yosef kotsomis lebechala, he put vinegar on it. Now, vinegar, you're not allowed to do, we just said. Omalei, Ravina said to Ravashi, lo sova lo mar, lo hodam Rav Hillel. You do not agree that Rav Hillel said, when he was learning by the Beis Medrash of Rav Kahana, that Rav Kahana said that you're not allowed to put vinegar on it. Don't you hold like that? So Gemara says, chala lo, that's what he said in the Beis Medrash, you're not allowed to use vinegar. So Omalei, Ravashi said, no. I agree with that in general, but this is an exception to the rule. Gav hayad, on the back of the hand, the top of the hand, the gav regal, on the top of the leg, shiny. That's different. Why is it different? Rashi explains, Shema koso koshe umesukan umechalum of Shabbos. Says this is a very dangerous type of a wound, so much so that you're a chole sheyesh bo sakana. Chole sheyesh bo sakana can do any yisum daraisa to save himself. So certainly you can put on this vinegar. This isn't a case of a mild cholesha ain bo sakana situation, a little bit of swelling. This is a potentially life-threatening swelling, and therefore you can do whatever you want. That's version one. Ika diamre, the second version of this story is Chazya, when Ravina came to Ravashi's house, he saw Chazya de kotsomisle de chamra. He saw that he was putting wine on it. He put wine on this wound. He saw the donkey step on his hand, and Ravashi tried to make the swelling go down by putting wine on it, not vinegar, wine. So Amalei, so Ravina says to Ravashi, lo sova lo mar, lo dama Rava, don't you hold the statement that Rava made? Rava said that the B'nai Mechuzah, Hani B'nai Mechuzah, these very fine and sensitive, dandy people living in B'nai Mechuzah, they are not allowed to use even wine. Kiva de Mefanke, since they're so picky, they're so sensitive over here to the wine, afilu chamra nami masilu, they would even be benefited by putting on wine. And you too, Rebbe, umar nami homophonic, you're a fussy person as well, you're a very, very picky person, and therefore you shouldn't be allowed to put wine on it as well. Amalei, Ravashi says to him, no. Again, similar terms that we had before, gaba yad, gaba rego, shiny. The top of the leg, the top of the hand, the back of the hand or the leg, they're different. The Amar Ravada Ramas, no Rav, because Ravada Ramas, they didn't even Rav. If you get a wound on the back of the hand or the back of the leg, that's like having a wound in your cholo. Your cholo means in your hollow organs, inside your body. That is very dangerous. Similar terms as we gave before, a little bit different, but the same bottom line is that this is something that is potentially life-threatening, and therefore you'll have to be mechal Shabbos for such wounds. Tana Rabbanu, we bring down another braisa, rochetzin b'mei geror. A person is allowed to go and take a bath or wash himself in the mei geror. Rashi explains, afa pishei meluchim, even though they're salty, kitzas, a little bit salty, they're salt water. Nevertheless, he says, you're allowed on Shabbos, this is before the gzerah, not to bathe on Shabbos, derech lirchotz ben b'chol, people would go and bathe in them on a weekday, and therefore, people would do this for just pleasure purposes, or to cool off, or to clean themselves, and lo muhicha milsa durufuhi. And you wouldn't say that they're doing this for medicinal purposes, to get this salt water in their eyes and heal this eye problem that they might have. So therefore, since people normally go and bathe in this mei geror in a weekday, so you can do it on Shabbos as well. Again, this is pre the gzera, not to go and bathe on Shabbos. However, he says you can do this in the mei geror, the Brisa says, or the mei chamson. Chamson is another place. Rashi doesn't tell us where it is. It's another place. Or b'mei Asya, and the waters of Asya is normally translated as like the waters of Asia. Or b'mei Tveria, and in the waters of Tveria, like the hot springs of Tveria. So all of this is allowed. That you're allowed to do on Shabbos because people bathe in these things regularly. This doesn't look like you're doing it for medicinal purposes. However, he says, Avolo b'yam ha-godo, but you're not allowed to go and take a bath or wash yourself in the Yam ha-godo. There's a big machlokas as to what the Yam ha-godo is. And we'll see that in the moment, in the Gemara momentarily. So right now we'll call it the Great Sea. But we'll see, it either means the Mediterranean or it means basically all the oceans of the world. Velo b'mei mishra. And likewise, you can't go and bathe or wash yourself in water that was used to soak flax. Now that's putrid water. Nobody would do that for pleasure or to cool off in. They would only use it for medicinal purposes. So it's clear in both of these situations, in the Yam ha-agado or in the mei mishra, that you're doing it for medicinal purposes. And likewise, velo b'yamashel stone, and not in the Dead Sea, which is very, very salty. And in these last three cases, the Yam ha-agado, mei mishra, and yamashel stone, they're all clearly doing it. Muchacha milsa, it's clear that you're doing it for medicinal purposes. So that's the brisa. Now it says that you're not allowed to go and do it in the Yam ha-godo. But Urminu, it says in another brisa that you are allowed to bathe in Shabbos in the Yam ha-godo. Rochetzin b'meitreya, that we said, you're allowed to do. The first brisa said also in meitreya, that's not a kasha. But it says over here in the second brisa, over Yam ha-godo, that you're allowed to go and bathe on Shabbos in the Yam ha-godo. So kasha will be, the second brisa says you can bathe in the Yam ha-godo. The first brisa, it said you can't bathe in the Yam ha-godo. That would be the question, but let's finish the brisa. The second brisa agrees. Avolo b'mei mishra, you're not allowed to go bathe in a pool that was used to soak flax. Velo b'yamashel stone, not in the Dead Sea, because these are clearly for medicinal purposes. So the Gemara now finished the brisa, and we ask our question. Kashi Yam ha-godo. The first brisa said you're not allowed to bathe in the Yam ha-godo. Ayam ha-godo. The second brisa said you are allowed to bathe in the Yam ha-godo. What's the answer? How do you reconcile? So I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says no problem, no kashi. It's not a problem. Ho Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Yehuda, there are two different opinions over here. Rashi brings down the first Dibra Maskel Ha, Diktoni Rochatzim, the Yam HaGadol, the second Brisa that says you're allowed to go and bathe in the Yam HaGadol. That will be the opinion of Rabbi Meir, who says that all the waters of the world are the same. Demashri kol yamim ki adadi. The lo maflu bin Yam HaGadol l'shar yamim. Doesn't distinguish between the Yam HaGadol, the Mediterranean Sea, and all the other waters of the world. Then the second opinion, Dotoni ain't Rochatzin, the first Brisa that says you're not allowed to go and wash in the Yam ha-godo, that's the opinion of Yehuda. He, the Maflu bin Yam ha-godo, Lishar Yamim, who makes a distinction between the Yam ha-godo and all the other waters. What do we mean? So the Tnan, here we have the Mishnah. This Mishnah is found in a number of places in Pora and in Mikvos, and the Mishnah tells us as follows. Kol Hayamim Kemikva, based upon the Pasuk, all the waters of the world, all of the yamim are referred to as a mikvah. As the Pasuk says, Shenemar, ul mikveh hamayim kor yamim. All the waters of the world he called yamim. Divrei Rav Meir. This is the opinion of Rav Meir. What is the difference between a mayon, a well or a spring, a river, let's say, and a mikvah? So a mikvah has a certain status to it that a mayon doesn't have, and vice versa. By definition, a mikveh can't be flowing water. It must be stayed. It must be standing still. That's why we're so careful when we have a mikveh that we make sure it's plastered properly that none of the water can leach out. On the other hand, the mayon, by definition, is moving water. It's zochalin. Likewise, you cannot use mikveh water for certain things, such as making the paraduma waters and for a zov to go and be matar himself. Likewise, the mayon can. You need mayim chayim in that situation. So these are two main differences between a mikveh and a mayon. So the Gemara tells us over here that this brisa that we just learned that has a contradiction with the brisa we learned previously is going to be reconciled between the two different opinions of Rabbi Meir and Yehuda. Ditnan, as we already said at the first part of the Mishnah, kol hayamim kemikveh ulamikveh hamayim kor yamim. This is the opinion divrei Rav Meir. In other words, they're all the same. Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda omer Yam ha-godol kemikva. Only the Yam ha-godol is kemikva, but v'lo nemar yamim, it's called yamim in the plural, elo sheyesh bo mine yamim harbe, because it has many different waters flowing into it. But all the other waters of the world, like the lakes and the rivers, they're not considered like a mikva, they are considered zochalin, they're mayan. So Rav Meir says that all the waters of the world have the status of being mikva. That's the opinion of Rav Meir. And Yehuda says only the Yam ha-godol has the status of being a mikveh, but all the other inland lakes and seas, they would not have that status. They would be zochalin. Then we have the third opinion. We bring down Rav Yossi Omer, kol hayamim mitar mezochalin. All the waters of the world can be flowing water, and they can be considered not like a mikveh, they're zochalin. However, all the waters of the world, upsulim lezovin umetzoroim, they can't be metara zov, who requires mayim chayim, that's more than zochalin, and a metzora requires mayim chayim, and likewise, ulekadish bemechatas, when you're making the ashes of the paradum and mixing it with water, it must be with mayim chayim. So these are the three opinions that we bring down over here. Now, maskif lo Rav Nachman Yitzchok, Rav Nachman Yitzchok asks the following shalom, return to the Yomid base. Amor de plige linyan tumah v'tara. How can you tell me that this reconciles our understanding in the first brayse that you can not be tovel in the Yom HaGadol, and the second brayse says you can be tovel in the Yom HaGadol by saying that that's the difference between on Shabbos? That's the difference between Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir. That's not true. Where do we find Amor de plige linyan tumah v'tara? The only place that Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir argue is in regard to tumah and tara. Is it be able to be used with a metzora or a zav or not? Linyan Shabbos mishomaslu, but where do we find that they argue in regards to Hilchos Shabbos? Why would you suggest that this is a reconciliation of the stira and the two brises? It's not. And in fact, the original question returns. The first brise says you're not allowed to bathe on Shabbos in the Yom HaGadol, and the second brise says you can. And the fact that Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir argue in regards to Hilchos Tumah and Tara has nothing to do with Hilchos Shabbos. That's where Rav Nachman Yitzchok asks. So therefore, he gives his own teretz. Along with Rav Nachman Yitzchok, the teretz isn't that this one is Rav Meir, this one is Rav Yehuda. No. But there is a teretz, lokasha. There's no problem between the two brises. Why? Hodishtoi, hodiloishtoi. Did you tarry in the water or not? That's the distinction. If a person stayed in the water, Rashi says, hodishtoi, top line, the end of the top line of Rashi, bigavayu. If he stayed in his body in the water, also, that's not allowed because the mukhach l'milsa, the l'refuah komachavein. Nobody stays in there for a long period of time except somebody who wants to get medicinal benefit from it. And therefore, to stay in there a long time, that's the brayse that says ein rochatzin. But to just go in quickly and cool off, hodiloishtai el rochatz viyotza. He washed himself up and he left. That is permissible. That is mutter. That's the teretz that Rav Nachman Yitzchok wants to give. Gemara is not happy with this either. So Gemara says, b'mayu kimtel v'sraisa. So how will we learn the second brayse? It's talking about that you're allowed to go into the Yom HaGadol because the loishtai, because you didn't stay there for a long period of time. Someone says, "Idloishtai." If you didn't stay there for a long period of time, so then why only in the Yom HaGadol? Afilu b'mei mishra nami. Even in the flax pool, you'd be allowed to go in there. As disgusting as that is, for a short period of time, somebody's allowed to go in there. It's not clear that they're going in for medicinal purposes. They may be just going to wash themselves off. D'artanya, because we learned in a different brisa, a third brisa, rochatz in the Mei Tveria, one is allowed to go and wash himself off on Shabbos in Mei Tveria, or b'mei mishra, or even in a flax pool, or b'yamashol stomor in the Dead Sea. Even though it's clear that you might be doing it for medicinal purposes because you have all these sores all over your head, nevertheless, you're allowed to do this. So the Gemara says, how come? You know why you're allowed to do that? Because he only went there for a very short period of time. And many people will go in there for a very short period of time just to wash themselves off. It's not clear you're doing it for medicinal purposes because you stayed in only a short period of time. For the medicinal purposes to occur, you must stay in there for a longer period of time. However, Abul Nishtala also, but if you're staying there a longer period of time, then it is forbidden because it looks like you're doing it mucha milsa, that you're doing it for medicinal purposes. So Gemara says that doesn't really answer the question, and we're stuck and we're left with our original question: how do you reconcile the two brises? So Gemara says you're right. Eloyam Hagodol Yom HaGadol Kasha. The first brise had said you're not allowed to go bathe in the Yom HaGadol. Second brise says you're all allowed to bathe in the Yom HaGadol. No problem, not a kasha. Why? Habi Yofin Shabo, Habi Royim Shabo. It's not one homogeneous type of body of water. There are places in the Yom HaGadol where it's nice water, Yofin, and there are places where the water is not so nice. It's turbid, muddy water. It's dirty water. So where are you dealing with nice water? So people would go in there at any time to wash themselves off. So there you're allowed to go in when it's nice water. But in the bad waters, nobody would go in there. If the Mayim Roim, the only people that would go in there are doing it for medicinal purposes. And that's why that brisa, the second brisa, says that you're allowed to. And the first brisa says you're not allowed to. Depends what type of water you're dealing with. And then where he says, I give you another teretz now. Now that we said this, Mei Mishra, Mei Mishra, Nami Lokasha. Now this third brisa that says you're allowed to go into Mei Mishra versus the first two brises that says you're not allowed to go into the Mei Mishra on Shabbos because it's medicinal. That's very easy to reconcile. It says it's almost befeirish that in the brisa that says you're allowed to go into Mei Mishra because you're not staying in there a long enough period of time to get any medicinal benefit. It's clear that you're doing it only to wash yourself off. Even if you intended to do it for medicinal benefit, you didn't stay in there long enough. And the first two brises that said you're not allowed to is because you stayed in there a longer period of time, and that's why it's not allowed. Since we started talking about a lot of medicinal things, Now the next Mishnah is going to deal with more medicinal things, and we have a lot of very difficult for us to follow and understand medical Gemaras. We've always taught that we're not allowed to follow the medical practices of the Gemara for a number of different reasons. The one I always thought was the most appropriate is because we really don't know what they're talking about. So if you practice medicine without knowing what you're talking about, so of course you're not going to get the desired results. And when you do that, people are going to make fun of the Gemara, and the people are going to make fun of the rabbis and say they don't know what they're talking about. And if they say you're not, you don't know what you're talking about over here, they're also going to say, Rachmana Litzlan, that the rabbis don't know what they're talking about in Hilchas Issa V'Hetter, and in Taras HaMishpacha, and Hilchas Shabbos. So therefore, one is not allowed to follow the medical advice of the Gemara, because we don't understand it, and it could lead to a terrible takkola. There's obviously other terrors, which I don't like as much, is Nishtana HaTeva, that the times have changed, because we don't really see that much evidence of some things that the times have changed. Sometimes that's a terrors that we seem to have no alternative, and then we say that, but it's much easier, in my opinion, to say that we don't understand the Gemara, and the Gemara may have perfectly good medical value, we just don't understand it, and that's why we don't follow the medical advice of the Gemara. In any event, with that little introduction, let's learn the Mishnah. Mishnah tells us, Ein Ochlin a Zovion B'Shabbos. A person is not allowed to use or eat, rather, this Azovian. Rashi tells us, the Gemara is going to tell us what it is, and some have the gears over here, Azov Yovan. It says on the side, this Azov that comes from Greece. In any event, you're not allowed to eat this on Shabbos, B'Shabbos, L'fisheinu Maichel Bria, because healthy people don't eat this, and therefore, it's Muchach HaMilsa, it's clear and apparent that you're eating it only over here for medicinal benefit, which is not allowed. However, the Mishnah tells us, Avalochlu es yo'ezer. You'll have to eat this thing called yo'ezer. These are all various types of herbs. And there's no problem because healthy people eat that as well. As Rashi says, Shahar be'ochlin oso kishen brin. Lots of healthy people eat it. So even though your purpose is eating it in order to get better, it's, so to say, lost in the crowd. And since many people eat this for normal, enjoyable purposes, even though you are using it for medicinal purposes, it's allowed. It's like batel to the das of the acherim. And the Mishnah tells us the same thing is applicable to Shose Abuvroa. You're allowed to go and drink this drink called Abuvroa. Gemara will tell us what this is. Again, we're not necessarily going to understand all of these things. We'll use a lot of words that we may not understand. These are certain types of drinks and certain types of foods that had certain benefits that we're not necessarily familiar with. And then the Mishnah tells us a general rule. Kol ochlin, ochel adam refuah. Anything that a normal person will eat is, you know, for regular food purposes, Ochel Adam Refuah. A person is allowed to eat them even though his intention is Refuah. Like people have a glass of tea and honey, so you want it to soothe your throat. So you're allowed to have a glass of tea with honey because normal people drink a glass of tea with honey as well. Likewise, Cholamashkin Shosa, any drink, the honey and the tea was really more of a drink. Cholamashkin Shosa, anybody that drinks something, it's a normal drink. So then any sick person is allowed to drink that as well, even though his intention is to get some medical benefit from it, with one exception. Chutz mimei dekolim, except for a certain type of water that comes from palm trees. Rashi here says that the Gemara will explain exactly what this is, so we'll wait till we get to the Gemara. And also the kos ikarin, a type of a drink, the cup that would make a person sterile. Rashi explains this is a mashke, a certain drink, shekochin l'socho, you grind up into it, ikari yirokos, some of the roots of various vegetables and spices, and the Gemara will tell us a little bit more about this. Now, the reason why you can't drink these, the Mishnah told us that you're not allowed to have this kos ikarin, mipnei shehen liroka, because it's used to treat an illness known as yiroka. Rashi explains, l'choli shel yiroka, and it's like a jaundice, v'eino maichel briim, and no healthy person will go and drink this. Furthermore, the Mishnah tells us, Avol Shosu made the column litzimo. If a person is thirsty, then he's even allowed to eat the made the column. We'll see in the Gemara is going to tell us that the made the column were a laxative, so even healthy people would sometimes drink this made the column if they were thirsty, even though you're intending to use it as a laxative, since healthy people will drink it under certain circumstances. If you're drinking it for your thirst, you're allowed to drink it. Finally, the Mishnah says, V'soch shemen ikarin shalol ertua. A person is allowed to anoint himself where he can smear on himself these roots. However, he's not allowed to do it for medicinal purposes. He's only allowed to do this if he's doing it because he likes to have smooth skin or whatever reason he's doing it for. Gemara starts off and says, Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef tells us, this, what the Torah tells us, Azov, what is the Torah's Azov? It refers to when you do, let's say, the paraduma and you spritz the paraduma water, you take an Azov and you spritz it with, what type of a plant is that? Abarta bar homok. It's known as the abarta, a type of plant known as a hyssop, that is called the bar homok. Opposed to a Ezovion, this that we talked about in our Mishnah, that you're not allowed to eat this Ezovion, that's a different type of abarta. That's known as the abarta bar hing. That's a hyssop that comes from a place called hing. Rashi explains, Ezovion of our Mishnah, the Mastisin, Hushikorin abarta bar hing. Why is that? The Yeshme Rabosa, I heard from my Rabbeim, that they explain, Mefarshim, bar hing, shegoda b'mokom gemi. It's grown in a place where they have reeds. And bar hing means shegoda b'in ha-higim. It grows between the thorns and the thistles. Okay, so different places have different types of this hyssop. Okay, the Gemara continues and says, Ula Omar, Ula tells us, marva chivra. When the Gemara tells us the Ezov in the Torah, Ula says it doesn't mean what we just said, the abarta of hemg, but it means over here something else, marva chivra. Rashi explains, it's the Ezov d'Oraisa is something called marva chivra. It's a certain type of plant. Fine. What exactly is this? Ula ikla be Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda. So Ula once was traveling to the house of Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, and Aisula kame marva chivra, and they brought to him this type of white marva. And he said, Omar, Ula said, that's it. Hainu Ezov d'chsib d'oraisa. This is exactly what I was referring to when I said the Ezov in the Torah is known as marva chivra. This is it. That was the second interpretation. The third interpretation, Rav Papi Amar, the Ezov in the Torah is something known as shumshuk. Rashi says, that's the Ezov d'oraisa. Amr Rav Yirmiyah Midifti said, Kavasi the Rav Papi Mistabra, that the most reasonable answer is the third one, Rav Papi's answer, that it means this shumshak. How do we know that? That's not, because we learned in the Mishnah in Parah, where he tells us, Mitzvahs Ezov, when you have to do the Hazah of the Parah Duma, you have to do it with an Ezov that has the following qualities. Shloshal Klochin, it has to have three stalks. And Ubahen, on each one of these three stalks, Shlosha Givolim, each of them has three seeds on it. And therefore, Shumshak Hudim Ishtak Lachi, and the only one of these three interpretations that we just wrote down that fits this definition of three stalks with three seeds on each stalk is this Shumshak. Where it says, why would a person in our Mishnah take a Zovion? We said it's some medicinal purposes. What illness does it heal? My Ochlile, what illness does the drinking or eating of the Ezovion heal? So Gemara says, Lekukiani. It's a certain type, Rashi says, of intestinal parasite, toloim shibnei me'ayim, certain type of worm, an intestinal parasite that you have inside. But my ochlele, what is the cure over here, and how do you get rid of this with the Ezovion? Do you have to eat it with something else? He says, yeah, but my ochlele, bishva tamri ukma. So you also have to have seven of these black dates, and that will be the cure. How do you get this intestinal parasite? Gemara says, Mikim chedisari. It comes from eating barley flour. We delete the word b'mana. It doesn't have to necessarily come in a cup or a container of some sort. It's just eating this barley flour. And what type of barley flour? It's talking about barley flour. The cholof alei arbein yomin. It has to be at least 40 days old. Again, from a pathophysiological point of view, maybe it's spoiled inside of it. The worms multiplied. The parasite over here multiplied. And maybe that's how you get sick. Gemara continues by quoting the Mishnah, Aval ochel hu es yoezer. You're allowed to eat this yoezer. That's because healthy people eat this yoezer. My yoezer. What is this yoezer? So, posnak. This is something known as pennyroyal. Okay. Amai ochlula. What medicinal benefit does it have for those people that are taking it for medicinal benefit? Liarkis, it's a certain type of worms that you have inside your kovid, Rashi says, inside your liver. Toloyim b'shekoved. There are certain types of parasites, fasciola, that can go and attack specifically the liver. So this somehow was felt to be medicinal for that. B'may ochlila, how does it work? What do you eat it with in order for it to work? B'shva tamri chivritza. Here you have to use white dates. For the intestinal worms, you use black dates, also seven. Seven is a magical number that we would find in many places. So here you have to have seven white dates. Where it says, B'may havya, where does this come from? Like we said before, that the kukiani comes from the barley flour. So where does this liver worm come from? So Gemara says, Umtza umaya aliberekon. It comes from having umtza's raw meat and having water with it on an empty stomach. Aliba rekona. Likewise, it can also come from bisra shamna aliberekon. It comes from a fatty type of meat that you eat on an empty stomach, or umibisra de toro, or the meat of an ox aliberekon, that you eat it on an empty stomach, or me amguza aliberekon, or from an amguza is a certain type of a nut. So all of these things, if you eat them, alibi rekon, if you eat them on an empty stomach, it's not good. It's going to cause this problem. One last one, umigire, it comes also from eating gire, deruvia, Rashi explains that this is lulave tilson, kein lulave gefan. The lula part, the stem part over here of this certain type of fenugreek. That's how it's usually translated. And if you eat this alibarikan, also on an empty stomach, and umishta maya basre, with all of these, if you have water with them, like we said with the first one, that is going to lead to this problem. Rashi explains, ha'ochel echad me'elu kodem achila, v'shosa achrav mayim. If you eat them before you eat anything else, and then you have eating it on an empty stomach with water afterwards, that's going to cause trouble. So this is the cure over here for the toloim shebekoved. No, v'ilo, what happens if it doesn't work? Rashi explains, ilesle pusnak, if you don't have this pusnak, this pennyroyal, the yoezer, or, Rashi says, inami achle, you ate it, v'lo itse, and it didn't heal you. So then, is there any other alternative therapies? So Gemara says, "Liv la tachle chibrusa." You can also go and eat this tachle. Tachle is shachlayim, the shin and the tuff are interchangeable. It's usually translated as cress. Chibrusa means white cress. Below, if that doesn't work, so then leisei betanisa, person should go and fast. And while he's fasting, v'leisei bisra shabda, they should bring him this fatty meat. V'lishtei agurma, you should throw it on burning charcoal. The limitz grama, and then when it cooks, he should go. And with roast, he should go and take an aver, Rashi says, go take, yeh, motzeitz, aver yofem meosobos, so take, you know, a limb, a nice piece of meat over here, and suck on it, the yometz shamno befiv, and suck out all the shemen, the juicy parts over here, the fatty parts over here, suck them out, the ligmachala, and have a little bit, swallow some vinegar, and v'ikad yamrei, chalalo. Others say, no, bedavka, don't do the chalalo. Why? Mishum dekoshi lekada, it's going to somehow ruin your liver. Okay? This was the treatment, if the other treatments didn't work. No, velo, if this doesn't work, you still have this problem with the toloim of the kovet. So, laise gurdo di asinta. Rashi explains this is klipa gurdo min asneh. Go take a piece of the bark from the snare, a certain type of bush, right? The burning bush of Moshe Rabbeinu. The grida mi'ilai l'tatoi that was peeled, that you cut it over here from top to bottom. Be careful, and don't do it from bottom to top, because dilmanovka idipume, because these worms, they follow the way that the snare is cut. The snare is cut from top to bottom, it will come out from your behind. If you cut from bottom to top, it will come out your mouth. So therefore, you don't want that to happen. Then, what do? Belishlika, you take this piece of this bush, and you go and boil it. Lishlika means you stew it, you soak it. In what? Beshikra, in a certain type of beer, be shivave. What does shivave mean? So Rashi says, ben hashmashos, it means to do it during the twilight period of time, or it means, lishnachrina, be shivave means bevayis echod mishchenav, not in your house, in your friend's house. Why? Shul yariachu areach shukoshlo. So you shouldn't give off this odor that would be difficult for you when you have this condition. After you go stew it for a while, ulamachar, the next day, niskirinun l'nekovim di day, you have to close off, yes, stone, Rashi says, you close off, you stuff up nechirav, shal yiriach, you plug up his nose so you shouldn't smell it, or alternatively, lishnachirina, yistom nechirav, v'nakve oznav, you go and close off the nose and the ears, shal yitzi koach hamashke migufo, so when he drinks it, it shouldn't escape, and it will stay in his intestines, it won't go out any of these orifices, delishte, when he drinks it, v'chimibne, and then when he has to go to the bathroom, mifne apshicha dikdikla, you should go and go to the bathroom on this rest of this snare, on this tree over here, and this will somehow cure him. Again, we don't begin to understand these gemaras, we read them. The Mishnah tells us, Vishosin abuvroa. You drink this abuvroa, that's allowed because healthy people drink this as well. What is this? My abuvroa. So Gemara says, chum teraya. It's something known as chum teraya. No, what's that? My chum teraya? Chutro yichidor. It is a single piece of wood. Rashi says, Eitz hagodel yichidi below anof. It doesn't have leaves on it, it's a shtick wood. Okay. Gemara says, L'may avdilei. What is the benefit of drinking this? So the Gemara tells us, L'giluya, if you drink water that's mayim gluyim, we don't really concern ourselves with this, but in the times of the Gemara, they were very, very concerned about drinking water that was not covered up. They were concerned that snakes would come and inject poison into this water, and that's mayim gluyim was a very, very big and important din, which again, because we don't have snakes anymore today, so it's brought down in Halacha that we don't have to be concerned about this. In any event, if somebody did drink this potentially venom water, so therefore, in order to cure himself, he would do these things. If that didn't work, this abuvroa, so then, vilo, so then try, lesi chamsho klile, go bring five vradim, roses, and chamisha kusso de shichra, and five cups of beer, v'nishlokinu b'adi adodeh, and go and stew them all together, cook them all together. How much should you cook it? Ad dekaimo an faka, until it reaches a certain amount. Rashi says, shiamdu almido mecheska mechazekes an faka, until it holds a certain amount of this concoction that is a revius halug. That's an anpak, and then you go and drink it. Vinishte, and go and drink it. Mora says, "Ime the Rav Achdavoy Barami, the mother of this great Talmud Chacham, Rav Achdavoy Barami, of the Leila Ugabra, she saw a certain man who had drunk this Mayim Gluyim, and she prepared for him just one Chad Klila, one rose, not five. The Chad Kusso de Shichre, and only one cup of beer. Shulka, she cooked it together, Vishkisise, and she gave it to him to drink." And even in this smaller amount, Vishagra Tanura, she then lit an oven, Ugrafte, and she did grufa of a ktuma, like we had earlier in the Gemara in Shabbos. She got rid of all the coals inside of it. She shoveled it out. Vosvise Levenasa Vigave. And then she put a levena, a brick, inside of it. Rashi explains, this way he could go inside this oven, must have been a big oven, and he would sit on this brick that was cold and he wouldn't get burned. And this heat that all caused over here caused a miracle over here, and out of him came all this venom, all this poison came out of him, and it was like a hutza yarka, like a big green tree, a big green leaf over here of a palm tree. Okay. Rav Avya said, Raviyasa the chalova me'iza chivarta. He says, if you aren't able to do this first potion, so then he says, an alternate therapy for mayim gluyim is to take a revius of chalov, of milk, that comes from a goat that's white. Rav Huna bar Yehuda amar, laisi esroga chalisa. An alternate therapy would be to bring a very sweet esrog. Esrog chalisa, Rashi says, is mosok, a nice sweet esrog. Ulechaike, go carve out from inside of it. Velimle doshem, fill the hole that you cut out with honey. Velosva be milale denura, and put it on a fire. Velechle, and then go and eat it. Another cure. Ruchanina amar, this is the cure. Meraglai ben Arbam Yom. He says, go take urine that is 40 days old. We had this idea that 40-day-old urine does certain things. We had this previous in the Gemara. And Barzina Lezibura. If you take a Barzina's worth of this, it will be able to cure a bite that you get from a Zibura, which is a wasp. Barzina, Rashi says, a very small measure. Kos Katan Ma'od. In any event, drinking that small amount is very good for a wasp sting. If you take a revius of a lug, that's good for a scorpion sting, le'akraba. If you take palga riva, Rashi says palga riva means a chatzi log. Rashi explains that a riva is a log, rivi also is a quarter of a log, and a palga riva is a half of a log. In any event, the half of the log is good. He says legiluya. That's for if you have this uncovered water, so this is the treatment for that, if none of the other treatments that you wanted to have before worked. And finally, if you have a river, if you have the full log over here, afil shavimalu, that is so good, it can even protect you against witchcraft. Rav Yochanan says, anigron, certain type of water that you add certain things to it. So if you have anigron, that's when you add to it certain type of beets, right? Avangar, that's water which you've boiled in it another type of vegetable. And the siryaka, that's when you put into it balsam. Rashi explains, mayim shenishlak bahem benagre. He says nagre is min esav, that's the anigron, and shmo benagre, and stam anigron, that's the tardin, that's the beets. And then you also have the taryaki, means it's tsari over here, it is balsam. So any of these that are with water, these are good for malu ben legiluya ben leshafim. They're so effective, they're going to work even for mayim geluyim or for maisik shafim. Mark continues and says, "Hi man, debala chivya. If somebody swallows a snake, lochle kishusa bimilcha, he should go and eat some kishusa. We said before is hops that are very salty. Bimilcha have salt in it. Filirate tlosa mil, and then run 3 mil. A mil is 2,000 amos. So run roughly a kilometer. Run 3 kilometers." Where it says, Ma'isa Shahoya, Rav Shimi Barashi Chazi Lahu Gabra, Rav Shimi Barashi saw once a man, the Bola Chibya, he ate a snake. Don't ask me why. Idmileka Parasha, Rav Shimi Barashi wanted to heal this guy, but he needed to appear like he was a Parasha. A Parasha is a chosh of a person. Rashi explains that he wanted him to fear him, And therefore, he dressed up like this parasha, this important person, and ochle kishusa v'milcha, he gave him some of these kishusas that are very salty, and then varate kamet losimil, he forced him to run 3 mil, v'nafach minei gube gube, and the snake came out of him, Rashi says, chatichos chatichos, yotza nochash mimenu, and that's how he was able to cure this guy. Alternatively, Ikad Yamre, another version of the story, Rav Shimi Bar Ashi, Balachivya. It was Rav Shimi Bar Ashi who was the one that swallowed this chivya. And what happened to him? Also, Elio came, Idmi Lekha Parasha. Elio came and looked like he was this chosh of a guy, and Ochli Kishus of Milcha, he gave him over here to eat these hops that are very salty, Varate Kameh Tlosimile, and he made him run for 3 mil, the Nafak Mine Gubi Gubi. And again, the snake came out in all these little pieces. If a snake bites you, go and take over here an uber, a embryo that comes from a white donkey, and then cut it open, slice it open, and put it underneath you and go sit on it, like a chair of some sort, a cushion of some sort. But this will only work if the donkey itself is not a trefa. If the donkey is a trefa, this won't work. Where it says, Maisa Shoya, Ha'u, return to Yom Aleph, Ha'u Bar Kosha. There was a certain man. It was Rashi says, Mamunda la Melech, Visrali. He was a Yid. He was a king's appointee. As we'll see, it's important that he was a Yid over here. The Tarki Chivya, he was once bitten by a snake. So they went to go and find this fetus of a donkey, this white donkey. Havit Losa Chame Chivrisa Bepumpadisa. Now there were 13 such white donkeys in Pumpadisa, and they went to go get the fetus from inside of them. And Karinu Lukulu, they sliced them all open, but each one, vishtaklu trefa, they all found every single one was a trefa. There was still one left. There was still one donkey, one of these white donkeys that was pregnant. There was on the other side of town in Pumbedisa. And ad the ozle maisilo, by the time they went to go and get it, achola arye, it was too late. A lion ate it. What's the bottom line over here? What's Gemara trying to tell us? So Amalu Abaye, Abaye said to the Chacham, Dilma Chivra de Rabbanan Tarke. He was bitten over here by a snake. That was what we saw. But what the Gemara is really teaching us, Abaye says, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent a snake over here because the rabbis said to do something or not do something, and he didn't listen, and therefore he was bitten by the snake that the rabbis, so to say, caused. The les le'asusa, and this type of a snake bite, there is no cure for it. Dechsev, as the pasuk in Mishlei tells us, uporit gader, if somebody breaks a fence, yishkenu nochash. The rabbi set up a fence, asus yog la'torah, and you go break it, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make it that a snake bites you. Lav davka, a real snake, but here, Hashem sent the real snake to be a messenger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Omrulei, in fact, when Abaye told the Tamidim this, so the Tamidim said, Yon Taka, you're right. In, Rebbe, you are 100% right. The Kinoch Nafshe de Rav, when Rav passed away, so they made certain gezeros. So when a Gadol died, so they made certain gezeros. So what was the gezerot they made over here? Goza Rav Yitzchak Bar Bisna, Rav Yitzchak Bar Bisna, who was the Talmud Chacham, said, the Lekod Limtaye, nobody should go and bring Asa, Myrtle, the Gidme, and those are palms, the Bei Hilula to a wedding, Bitavla, with bells, Tavla of bells. Rashi explains, Shahayu Regilim Lohavi Hadas V'Anfei Dekam, they would normally bring these myrtle branches and palm branches, L'smoach L'bnei HaChosav HaKala. They would do this to gladden everybody's hearts, L'Chosav HaKala. U'Kshemevin Osa L'fneim, Mekashikim L'fneim B'Shuk, B'Vohem B'Tufim, V'Zogin Tavla. So they would go and bang on all sorts of cymbals and on bells, and they were goes there when Rav passed away. That they shouldn't do this. They should stop doing that. With the death of Rav, they felt that this was not appropriate. But this guy didn't listen. That's why he was a Yid. And he went over here and did exactly what they were goes there not to do. So he was Poreitz Geder. So Yishchenu Nachash, Tarkei Chivya V'Meis. Therefore, a snake bit him. And even though there were remedies for this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that none of the remedies would work because every one of the donkeys was a trefa. A very difficult shiur to really get and full understanding of, but certainly very interesting material. With this, we conclude today's shiur.